the Public News Service Tuesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. Dozens of protesters have taken over a building at Columbia University in New York, barricading the entrances and unfurling a Palestinian flag out of a window. That, as the UN human rights chief said, he was troubled by how law enforcement has dealt with the recent wave of campus demonstrations. That from The Guardian. The student radio station WKCR-FM broadcasted a play-by-play of the hall's takeover, which occurred nearly 12 hours after Monday's 2 p.m. deadline for the protesters to leave an encampment or face suspension. And Minnesota is a leader in renewable energy, getting 54% of its electricity from zero-carbon sources last year, according to the 2024 Minnesota Energy Fact Sheet released today.
The annual report comes from Clean Energy Economy Minnesota and the Business Council for Sustainable Energy. BCSE President Lisa Jacobson says that's 12% better than the national average.
We're really pleased to see about 600 megawatts of wind and solar getting added, and we're anticipating that that's going to be even higher next year as some of the large utility scale projects that are being built right now come online.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
The state got $800 million in climate funding from President Joe Biden's infrastructure bill and the Inflation Reduction Act. A new report reveals investing in rural areas can improve essential resources for the people living there.
Back in 2012, the K.B. Reynolds Charitable Trust launched the Healthy Places North Carolina initiative and allocated $100 million to 10 rural counties. The aim was to improve resource accessibility, and after a decade, their impact report revealed significant progress in areas such as healthy food, recreation, and healthcare resources. Adam Linker from the Reynolds Trust says the key to empowering these communities hinges on close collaborations with the residents themselves.
The people who know the problems the best are the people who are closest to the issues in community. And so you have to invest in those leaders, in those organizations, so that they can lead the change efforts themselves.
Linker emphasizes the power of community-driven solutions for real lasting change. Shantia Hudson reporting.
And the University of North Carolina system has developed a tool to simplify the conversion of military expertise into university credits. This streamlines the process for active duty service members and veterans looking to determine how much of their military service translates to a college degree. Bradley Wren is program manager for military and veterans education at UNC.
The real challenges fell in the students not really knowing where to submit the information. There wasn't really a system-wide mechanism for them to input their military training and experience information.
Now, anyone with an American Council on Education Joint Services transcript can easily input their information to find out which courses they will receive credit for. This is Public News Service. Big players in the beef and poultry industry now face pressure to prepare for a new federal rule for product of USA labels. Advocates for smaller farmers and ranchers see an opportunity for these operations to reach more customers.
Companies selling meat products in grocery stores have until early 2026 to comply with the USDA rule announced this spring. Product of USA labels are sometimes slapped on a meat item for sale. Firms that outsource production overseas have been doing it because the item was packaged in the U.S. But now all of the animal production has to be done domestically to use the label. North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney likes the move.
In some respect, it should give a U.S. producer a distinctive advantage to the consumer that desires a product that is born, raised, slaughtered, processed to the U.S.
While the rule is binding, use of the label is voluntary. Watney says advocates still have a long way to go in getting stronger mandates under country of origin labeling. Critics of such moves worry about disrupting international markets. I'm Mike Moen.
And New Mexico is taking a deep dive into its funding of public colleges and universities to determine if inequities need to be addressed.
The Higher Education Sustainability Study will review and recommend changes to the formula used to fund higher ed. Gerald Honey with the New Mexico Higher Education Department says it will look at possible inequities among the full range of sectors, from colleges and universities to research institutions, independent community colleges, and branch campuses.
The differences between community colleges and research institutions, those differences have come into how they're funded. So this study gives us an opportunity to look at that in more detail.
I'm Roz Brown.
The National Center for Higher Education Management Systems is conducting the equality study on behalf of the state. Finally, our Nadia Ramlagan lets us know
The Blackwater River, which flows more than 30 miles through West Virginia's Allegheny Mountains, ranks among the top 10 most endangered rivers in the nation. That's according to a new report.
Judy Rod with the group Friends of Blackwater says Corridor H would involve building a bridge in an area honeycombed with old mines, and explains the construction could compromise decades-old work to actively treat the water in the North Fork of the Blackwater, impacted by acid mine drainage. She's worried the highway could be a major environmental setback for the region.
We expect in the next year to really clean up this river and bring back a trout fishery that used to be there. However, if they start building this bridge, they could be opening up old coal mines, old tunnels, which are filled with acid pollution.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.